Let me begin tonight with a prayer and ask God to open our minds and our hearts so that we may understand His Word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Gracious and loving Father, we bless You and thank You for having given us minds. Minds that can inquire and reason so that as we inquire about You, we grow to know You. And in knowing You, we grow to love You, and in loving You, we serve You with joy, so that we can one day come together in joyful unity in the kingdom that You have promised us. May tonight help us to deepen our awareness of Your loving plan of salvation. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Okay. Tonight, what I'm going to be dealing with is I'm going to be talking for about 30 minutes. Or however much the wine loosens my tongue. between 30 and 40 minutes. Or maybe between 40 and 45. But what we're going to be talking about...
Time check right now?
No, no time check. I have a clock right over here. The question that we're going to be dealing with tonight is a question that we run into all the time. The Catholic Church claims to be the true religion. And the question is what you should always ask yourself with anything. Is it true? Is it true? And how is it true? And how is it understood to be true? What I'm going to attempt tonight is to give you the reasoning behind that statement. Because the Catholic Church does teach it. And it is a reasonable teaching. But it is not reasonable until you understand what we mean by it. It sounds arrogant. It sounds like, oh my God, they're saying the one true church. But what about all those people that are outside of it? So what I'm hoping to do is to help you understand how that statement is meant and how it is true. And I'm going to do that by using, expanding one of the marks of the church. Now, for all those of you who are good Catholics, and some of you who aren't, what are the marks of the church? The church, you say it every Sunday. One holy Catholic and apostolic. Right? That's part of the creed. Now tonight, I'm going to be focusing my attention specifically on the word Catholic. Because the word Catholic doesn't mean... Every time I ask a Catholic, what is Catholic? They say, well, it means universal. But you can't explain it. You can't explain why and how it came to be. And so what I want to do tonight is to help you to understand and deepen your understanding of the word Catholic and its theological significance and why the church draws from that to say this is the one true faith. So, let me back up from here and begin at the foundation. The foundation of Christianity, we just celebrated. We just celebrated. It's called the Incarnation. Now, the word Incarnation, haven't taken it apart before, and you guys know that I tend to be a little bit obsessive about this, in... It means exactly what you would think, in carne, Carne in Spanish is meat, flesh. And so when we say the incarnation, what we are saying is that at one moment in history, the God of this universe chose to become flesh, chose to become literally meat, thinking meat. God chose to become that. And he chose to become that so that he could reveal himself and the identity of God. See, let me back up here for a minute. One of the things that I'm always teaching is the fact that when you say, you know, it's one of the things that people are fond of saying is, well, we all believe in one God. No, we don't. We do not believe in one God. Why? Now, I can say to you, do we all believe in one God? Do we all believe in God? And I bet you 95% of the people here would raise their hand and say, yes, we believe in God. And we would presume that that's the one God. But here's the problem. What you don't understand is that 10 minutes ago, I was outside. And I was kneeling before a tree. And I was praying to my God, the tree. For me, my God is that tree out there. Now, can we all say we believe in God? Yep. The only problem is your God is nothing like mine. My God is a tree. And so the question is, well, what do we mean when we say, do we believe in God? When you say you believe in God, all you're saying is you believe in a box. Now, at first that might sound, what? Yes. God is a box. God is a box. Why do I say that? Because God is a perfectly good word that existed way before Jesus or the Jews. God is a category. It is not content. It is a category. That's why when you say, oh my God, you're not taking God's name in vain. Because God's name is not God. God is a category. It's like a box. Now, the question is, when you have a box, we can all agree that there is a box there. The question is there anything inside the box? And not only is there anything inside the box, if we agree that there is something or someone inside the box, who is it? What is the identity of the person that is inside the box? That's the issue of which God do you believe in? No, Rabbi Stuart Federer, who does the show of faith with me on Sunday nights, we have understood that we do not believe in the same God. We don't. Our understandings of God have overlapping aspects. It's like if you have a two circles or three circles that share something in between. But that doesn't seem, if Stuart's understanding of God is here for Judaism and Christianity is here, they are not the same God. We can say that there is a certain amount here in the center in which we all agree. But that doesn't mean it's the same understanding of God. And so for a Christian, what we are saying, and I'm jumping quickly because I only have 40 minutes left. For a Christian, then, what we're saying is, yes, we all believe in God. But what's inside the box for us, the identity of the God that we believe in, makes all the difference. Now, why? Because what we understand is that at one moment in the universe, the history of the universe, the entity, and please understand, every time I use words, words all fail. When you were talking about God, every time you use words, words fail. Because theology cannot talk about the infinite with finite words. The finite words blow apart the moment you try to fill them with infinite content. And so, what we're saying is the entity, whoever is out there, whatever, if there is somebody out there, because I'm presuming, and again, and this, and I have to go through this quickly, I am presuming that it is more reasonable to believe in God than not. To me, it has more reasonable. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. I don't. Because I would have to make up stuff that to me is unreasonable. And so, what we're saying is that the entity that created the universe became human in Jesus. And that happened only one time. Now, compare it just very quickly to non-Christian religions. Muhammad is not understood to be the incarnation of God. Muhammad is understood by Muslims to be the messenger, but totally human. Buddhists do not believe in a personal God. It's interesting because Buddhism is actually an atheistic religion. There is such a thing. They have a religion, but there is no personal God. Hindus believe in multiple incarnations, including that God became human and a monkey and different aspects of creation. It is only Christianity that says that at one moment in history, a human being stood before us and said, I and the Father are one. Today I read the Gospel. And every once in a while, whenever I read stuff and it gets to me, it sends chills down my body. In the Gospel today, Jesus goes to his hometown and he stands up and he's supposed to do the reading, just like we do. And he reads, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has chosen me to bring good tidings to the poor. He has chosen me to bring liberation to captives. And it goes on to have a year of favor from the Lord. Then he closes it up and he stands before the congregation and he says, today this prophecy is fulfilled in your hearing. Now let that sink in. The dude is either so arrogant, you know, he's applying the fulfillment of the prophecy to himself. And as C.S. Lewis said one time, the guy talking to you in the Gospels is either a liar, a lunatic, or he is Lord. You cannot stand in front of another human being and say, like he said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He didn't say, I believe in the resurrection. I am. Or here you have another moment when Jesus turns and he says, I am the truth. Now check that one out. This is not a guy who's telling you, I know the truth. I believe in the truth. I have discovered the truth. This is a guy who's saying, I am the truth. Or the ultimate. Unless you eat of my flesh and drink blood, you have no life in you. If you love your mother, your brother, your sister, your cousin, whoever it is more than me, you're not worthy of me. You talk about arrogance. It's either he's arrogant,
he's crazy or he's God. Of course, Christians say the latter, that he is God. So, what are we saying then? That at one moment in history, the God of the universe displays himself in the full revelation of the totality. Now, I'm just going to say that again. In the full revelation of the totality. Now, why am I saying that? Let me return right now to the word Catholic and why the word Catholic was chosen by the early church. You see, the word Catholic comes from two Greek words. It comes from the word kato and the word holos. Now, in Greek, these two words mean in relationship to or concerning, that is, kato, and holos means the entirety. Actually, where we get the word whole, W-H-O-L-E, comes from the word holos. So the word comes, the two words come to mean in relationship or concerning the whole. Now, how do you get Catholic from there? Well, you know how here in Texas, we don't say you all. Right?
No.
We say y'all. Y'all. And by the way, who knows the plural of y'all?
All y'all.
All y'all. Okay. You take these two words and you put them together and you get this. Now look at this. Here you have two O's surrounded by a silent H. So what do you think language does to that? Holos. And that's where you word, sooner or later, in English, that got changed to C-A, P-H-O-L-I-C. The classic translation. The word Catholic comes from the ancient church trying to understand the implications of the belief in the incarnation of God. Now, the problem is that we just say, oh, okay, that means universal. The problem is that it doesn't just mean universal. It does mean universal. But I would like to give you an idea, actually four ideas, that have helped me to understand what it means when the Catholic Church says that Jesus is the whole, concerning the whole. Here's the point. And this comes from a great theologian by the name of Avery Dulles. Avery Dulles was a cardinal. He died recently. And you might remember his name. Some of you who are older might remember John Foster Dulles. John Foster Dulles was Secretary of State under
Roosevelt.
Was it Roosevelt?
Eisenhower.
It was under Eisenhower. Avery Dulles was John Foster Dulles' son. He became a priest, and he wrote a book. It's fairly complicated, but the book is called Catholicism. And he said that in order to understand Catholicism, you have to have four different points. So what he does is he basically draws a cross. Now, I want you to understand that when we use the word Catholic, most of us tend to use it in a way that is deluded.
as in made watery. We think of it as one denomination. When people ask you, what is the denomination? I'm Catholic. Okay. The word denomination is having a name. Denomen. Having a name. I always get a kick when somebody says to me, I say to them, so what church do you go to? And they go, oh, a non-denominational. Now, you know why? That's fine. Because you know what they say? They're saying, I go to no name. To no name church. Now, folks, ain't no such thing. Now, you can make no name into a name. You can say, hello, my name is no name. Okay? But you still got a name. Right? Why? Because there is no such thing as generic no-name theology. For example, if I were to say to you, let's go to dinner. And you say, great. And I say, what kind of food do you want? And you answer, generic. Just give me no-name food. Now, let me ask you, where do you go for no-name food? There is no such thing as no-name food. You're going to get either Chinese or steak, or you're going to get Mexican, or you're going to get fusion, you know, of all kinds of stuff like that. But there is no such thing as generic food. It's always something. It's the same thing with religion. Religion is always common. You may not like it, or a pastor may, you know, Joel Osteen down there may say, I am no name. But when you investigate his theology, it's fusion theology. A little bit of gospel of prosperity, a little bit of Baptist, a little bit of this. It's just a mixture. Now, that's not bad. But just don't think, oh, those mean old Catholics and Lutherans and Methodists, they have names. We have no name. Yes, you do. Your name is no name. Okay? That's your name. You can't have a no name person. So, the word Catholic can be used as a name. But when the church uses it, it's not meaning the Catholic Church does not consider itself a denomination. We don't. We consider ourselves. Now remember, you are here hearing Catholic theology. If I had a Protestant theologian here, he might disagree with me. David Capes would disagree with me. Somewhat. Not too bad. Because they use the word Catholic. But they use it with a small c. So, what is this? Because this has to do with Catholic. Who was the first Catholic? Now, I'm using the word Catholic not as a denomination. I'm using the word Catholic as concerning the whole, as an adjective. Who was the first Catholic?
Peter?
No.
Christ. Mary.
No.
Mary.
Jesus. Jesus was Catholic. Why do I say that? Because Jesus is the source of Catholicity. That may be a word you've never heard before. Catholicity. Why do I say that? Now let's look at this. There are four different types of Catholicity, of way of being Catholic. Remember what it means. It means concerning the whole. In Jesus, what the church says is that in Jesus, we have the fullness of revelation of God. God, there is no more to learn about God that is found outside of Jesus. Jesus is the wholeness of God made flesh. The Gospels are full of that. Right? The Gospels in John, in Paul, all things were created in Him. In Him all things continue in their being. If you read the faith of the ancient church, they're telling you that Jesus is the fullness concerning the whole of who God is. Now, you may disagree with that, but the church had this experience of standing before a human being who was saying He was the truth. Deal with it. How are we going to deal with it? You can say it was crazy, but He said, I am the truth. And so what the church says is, in Jesus we have the fullness of God revealed. We will continue to understand more deeply the identity of God, but it always comes through our understanding of Jesus. Because Jesus is the fullness of God made human. Now, what's the bottom one? The bottom one is still concerning the whole. You see, what the Catholic Church is saying is that in Jesus, Jesus fulfills the fullness of the identity of human beings. If you walk in to the church, when you see on your left-hand side from this, there's a picture of John Paul II, a painting. And in there, he has a statement that unless the moment you understand or grow in understanding of Jesus, Jesus is the fullness of human beings being human. To the degree that a person is like Jesus, the person is fully human. To the degree that you are not like Jesus, you are a fake or a superficial human being. Jesus is He is the Catholicity of humanity. He is the fullness of what it means to be human. When you see Jesus, what you are seeing is the original human being totally displayed in the fullness of the human, what a human being ought to have been. Jesus is the fullness of humanity. When you see Him, you are seeing what human beings should have been before we screwed it up. He is the fullness of Him. He is the catholicity, the wholeness of humanity. So notice what you got at first. The word Catholic doesn't just mean universal. It means that the fullness of God lives in Jesus. That in Jesus is the full revelation of the human being to Himself, or to herself. Now what are these two? This is length and depth. Length. Or, time. What we're saying is that time was created in Jesus. Jesus, that's why He is called the Alpha and the Omega, the two letters of the Greek alphabet. He is the beginning and the end. All things were created in Him. Think of John, the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Talking about Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. What John is saying right there is that in the beginning there was the Word, and at the end of time, time will conclude in Jesus Himself. He is the end and the beginning. So all of a sudden, look at how Catholicity is expanding. What you're dealing with is a church that says God is fully revealed in Jesus. Humanity is fully revealed in Jesus. Time is fully revealed in Jesus, and space. What the Catholic Church basically says is there is not one iota of matter that was not created in Him, through Him, and for Him. That is straight from the Bible. In Him, through Him, and for Him, all things came to be and continue in being. Jesus is the Catholicity of space. He is everything. In Him, everything continues in being. Now, where is the source of being Catholic? There is nothing outside of Jesus. Everything, God, humanity, time, and space exist in, through, and for Him. He is beyond all that is. That means that the community that follows Him cannot be many. That's why the church is one. One. Now the fact that we are broken, okay, the fact that, for example, if you take, and you are, say in an accident, and you have your arm severed, that doesn't mean that it's not your arm. It still belongs to you. You are incomplete. You are part of the body. Or like another example that I like to use when talking about Catholics and Protestants. Imagine a family that gets in a huge fight and a third of the family moves down the block to another house. And they call their house something different. Well, you can't unfamily yourself. You can't. You may choose not to have your name, you may choose to whatever, but your DNA cannot falsify itself. You are part of the family. No matter how much you deny it, you are one family. What the church says is that in Christ Jesus, all exist as one. And that applies not only to Protestants, but that applies to Hindus, it applies to Muslims, it applies to Jews, it applies to pagans and non-believers. There is no existence outside of the Word of God, Christ Jesus. That is the source of Catholicity. When you say you are Catholic, what you may at one level, you may be talking as if you are part of a denomination. But at the deepest level, the church understands that Jesus is, and the community that He started is indivisible. It may be broken, but it cannot unmake itself part of the family. You can't do it. It's interesting because I recommend to you that when you go home and you get on your computer, look up, and this is a document of the Catholic Church, of the Second Vatican Council. The document is called Nostra Aetate. Now that's a Latin term. The document's in English. Okay? But look it up. It's less than 2 pages long. And what it is the Vatican, the fathers of the Vatican Council talking about what is the relationship between non-Christian religions and Christianity. And it's at the center Catholicism. Let me expand on this a little bit. The Catholic Church holds that all who are baptized are our brothers and sisters. Say you're a Lutheran or a Methodist. If you become a Catholic, we are forbidden from rebaptizing you. You cannot be rebaptized. Why? Because you already are our brother and sister. You see, for us, baptism is not your commitment to God. In a lot of Protestant churches, when you are baptized into that Protestant church, the reason that they don't hold for infant baptism is that they think that you need to be old enough to make your commitment to God in baptism. In the Catholic Church, we hold baptism quite the opposite. It is God choosing you as his son or daughter, proclaiming you as his son and daughter, and doing that in many cases before you are aware of it, which is normal. Let me ask you, were you aware, except for exceptional cases, were you aware when your mom and dad chose you and decided not to leave you as their son and daughter? Were you aware that, oh my God, you're my mommy? We didn't do that. You didn't even know who this person was until this person, without getting your consent and without you even knowing it, started calling herself mommy. That came before your consciousness. Your consciousness actually grew inside the concept that you were chosen as her son. That's how you grew. Well, that's what the church says. You are chosen as God's son, daughter, and you grow in the understanding that you have been chosen before you had a chance to choose. Now, when you get older, you can reject it. You can reject, just like you can say to your mom and dad, I disown you. You have that choice, but you don't start out that way. You start out by being chosen. And so what the Catholic Church says is that every single Christian who is baptized in the Christian tradition is already a brother and a sister. You cannot be rebaptized. We can accept you into what's called full communion into the Catholic Church. Because what we're acknowledging is the fact that because of historical situations, the community that you belong to broke away and is broken. It's like a broken arm. It's still part of the body, but it's like a broken piece of the body. But it's still part of the body. And so the Catholic Church basically says all Protestant churches participate, now listen carefully here, participate in elements of the church. They participate in elements of the church. What does that mean? Well, it means that, for example, they may not have the fullness of the church. Here's my favorite example. Many of you know La Madeleine, right? Down here? Okay. La Madeleine has this tort, pie, I don't know what to call it. But every time I go there, I weep. And the reason I weep over and I cannot eat it because I'm diabetic. And so this torque has divided into the circle, it's like a pie, divided into different pie slices. And different pie slices are topped with different fruits. So you have like raspberries and apples and peaches and, you know, and all kinds of stuff. And it's beautiful. It's just gorgeous. Now, I believe that's the Catholic Church. Hear me out. I believe that the Catholic Church is the full pie. The full pie. Now, let's take my good friend, actually I don't even know him, my good friend Joel Osteen, whom I like. Periodically I like to listen to him. He's inspirational. Now, okay, before I start talking about Joel. Okay. Is that one take a minute? When you go to Lakewood, you're going to enjoy it. I guarantee you're going to enjoy it. He's a fantastic speaker. The band is awesome. You're there, you know, with a gazillion other people, and everybody's, you know, doing the same. I tell you that Joel is excellent. Now, how do I understand Joel in relationship to the Catholic Church? Well, here's the pie. Okay. Let's say that that's the full pie, and I believe that the Roman Catholic Church is the full pie. Let's say that this is the slice that is filled with raspberries. Okay. I believe that when you like raspberries and you really are have a taste for the raspberry slice of the pie, you're not going to find a better raspberry slice maker than Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen makes this slice of the pie the best you have ever tasted raspberry. That's the problem. When you come to the Catholic Church, you say, ah, Father Mario says they have the full pie. I love raspberry when Joel does it. So you come and say, let me taste the raspberry. It's all there. But you taste the raspberry, and they're putrid. The Catholic raspberry part is disgusting. It's disgusting. Now, so what should we do? The Catholic Church has the full pie. Now, if you go and you say, I'd like part of the strawberries, well, Joel doesn't serve strawberry. Joel serves raspberry. And he's become a master at this raspberry. We serve the whole pie. But man, several ones of our slices really need to be improved. They're present. It's technically the full pie. But man, Joel has us creamed totally when it comes down to the raspberry part. And so if you're a lover of raspberry, who are you going to prefer? You prefer Joel. Now, the problem is that you're supposed to have a whole pie, not just a little piece of it. And so when you need other parts of the pie, Joel can't give them to you because he specializes in one slice. Okay? Now, if you think about it, that metaphor is true of different, it's actually true of different parishes. You go to one parish, and the pastor at one parish may do two out of the rest of the slices tremendous. But boy, some of the other slices of the pie are not done so well. That's from different church to different church. And so, even though we're called the Catholic Church, I believe that's the fullness of the pie. But we don't do every slice to the quality that other churches do. But we do have the fullness of it. Now, non-Christian religions. Non-Christian, the Catholic Church says, and I highly recommend Nostra Aetate, so I only have 5 more minutes on this. The Catholic Church says that all religions that begin with the seeking of the good according to reason and where human beings are trying to discover God, that all religions reflect some, and in many cases, many aspects of truth. So the Catholic Church in no way dismisses Buddhism. We don't dismiss Judaism, Islam, Hinduism. Those religions are what is called, not all of them, but Hinduism, especially in Buddhism, for example, are what's called natural religions. Natural religions is when you have people in the state of nature, which is still separated from God by original sin, but they were still in good conscience seeking the best that they could understand God. And when you are a human being of sincere heart seeking the truth, God can always be found. The problem is, what the Church, Catholic Church says, is that reason can only take you this far. God can be seen from the earth through the reflection of the things that he has made, but it can't be penetrated totally to its fullness of his identity. And so what happens is that the religions, natural religions, do contain truth, but only in to a certain degree. And so what the Catholic Church says is that Jesus is the unknown finalization of the hopes and dreams of all humankind. So that if you're a Buddhist, you're going to find a lot in common with Catholics. We're not fundamentalists. You're going to find a lot in common with Catholics. But you're going to find that there comes, you can only go so far. It's interesting because we had a Buddhist and a Hindu at the Show of Faith. And I, as a Catholic, was the one who was able to have most in common with him in terms of spirituality. Because there were a lot of things that both Hindu and Buddhist, we found immediate linkage. Of course, when it comes down to the identity of who God is, we couldn't. Because that's where revelation kicks in. And in terms of time, for example, for the Hindu believes in cyclical. They believe that God created the world and the whole cycle of reincarnations. You keep coming back until you liberate yourself from the attachment to matter. See, reincarnation is not something positive. Reincarnation, especially for Hindus, is a curse. The whole point of reincarnation is that you want, you know what matter is to a Hindu? Take your hand and dip it in water and then put your hand on a pan full of flour and pull it out. Flour sticks to your hand. That is the way that Hindus understand matter sticks to the soul. And the soul has to come to a point to be able to rid itself of matter. The soul does not exist individually. I'll give you one more example, and then I'm going to finish up. Imagine you have an eyedropper. And the eyedropper is filled with water. And slowly you begin to push the eyedropper to the point that a little droplet forms at the very end, start of the end of the eyedropper. Now let me ask you this. Does the drop exist? Come on! Yes. The drop exists, right?
Yes.
Okay, now, keep on pushing it. And that little drop dislodges from the eyedropper and falls into the ocean. Does the drop exist? Show it to me. Show me the drop. Does it exist as a drop?
No.
It existed at one moment, but its individuality was a temporary aberration that as soon as it dislodged from the eyedropper, that temporary aberration joined the rest of the sea, and it is no longer an individual. That's you. That's you in Hinduism. In Hinduism. Now notice, they are already defining humanity. They are saying humanity is a temporary illusion. Okay? And you, the whole point of reincarnation is that the more stuck you are to matter, the less you can get out. You keep coming back in lower and lower and lower life forms because you're stuck. And the point of salvation in Hinduism is to get out of the cycle. And so they are defining what human beings are. Do we both believe in the same kind of, you know, penance and asceticism and you know, taking ourselves away from attachment to matter? Yes. Except for different reasons. Okay? So, notice, we had a lot in common. But when we came to why, we didn't. And so, the Catholic Church says, insofar as you go up here, we're with you. But we say to you that Jesus, if this was Hinduism, Jesus is the unknown part of what you still long for. If you say down here, you see man in this way, you say, yes, we agree. But the full identity of humanity, you can't know unless it is completed by Jesus. The beginning of time, the end of time, it's not a cycle. Yes, it has different stages. But until you understand creation the way God intended it in Jesus, you won't be able to understand the fullness of time. Or of the relationship of matter to the rest of the universe. And so Jesus ends up being the fulfillment of pagan religions that can only go so far. But insofar as they've gone to a good degree, they are and have truth. In some ways, they have also mixed with falsehood. But we do not deny them. Okay. That is all in Nostra Aetate. Okay, read it. So, let me back off here. How many questions do we have?
Probably about 15.
Okay. I'm going to do some quickly, but let's start with any clarifications, anything that I mentioned that was not clear to you, or that you would like to... Yes, Carmen.